It is January 19th, 2023, episode 113. Toss back to the old opening. Today we talk about Azure, a little bit of cost management, and what the heck gets charged up there and why and how. So I am Michael Askins, architect and technologist, and this is IT Pro Tech Talks. In the little corner, if you're watching this on the video, the little guy is the little head, if you will, the little talking head is, who is it?
It's Dev.
It's Dev. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. So, you know, the one platform we use to capture recordings and do stuff has a lot of new features since you've been on last. You were kind of talking through some of that, right? It's been a while for you.
It has been a while for me. You threw me to the side and
no, not the case.
People were far more in the know than I am, apparently. But
no, not the case at all, man. So, you know, we covered this a little bit on the last one between the hellacious month of illness of December, and then, you know, stuff with the day job and in and out with multiple people trying to get things going. We were stretched out in between episodes. I think the last one you were on was before right around Thanksgiving or before the holidays, and it was we're back and I'm back. He's gonna be back soon. But regardless, cutting to the chase here to be time sensitive, again, you know, we're going to cover a single topic to try to keep this one concise. The last show we just had and released, we had Chris Seferlis, I should say Professor Seferlis. Good stuff, right? Good stuff. So he was on and we discussed, you know, some data platform and some things to do with solutions and what to look for, what to change, how to be cost conscious. And we're going to continue that tone. That's going to be the tone throughout 23, you know, if you will, is now and again sprinkling in how can we do more with less. What can we do when it comes to the services we're using to try to make sure we're saving or at least being smart with our solutions? And I'm going to start it off with something I brought up in the last one. And I'm thinking it's going to be the reoccurring theme or the reoccurring statement I make. So we want to be smart with how we spend, but we also want to be smart with our technology. We can't just like cut costs at the sacrifice of the technology, because then you're going to lose efficiencies and it's going to wind up costing you more. So, you know, we're going to put that lens on. So I think, you know, a couple things we'll do is we'll run through what is cost management and billing in Azure, just kind of touch on it from a conceptual perspective, you know, go over, you know, what's there, what you get, what do you get natively, and is there any delta gap that needs to happen? And then talk through some of the things like we personally do when we're looking around, you know, even if it's the day job or our personal tenants or our labs, you know, what we do personally to try to, you know, sharpen that Azure stick spend a little bit, right? Yeah. So, you know, pregame was a little light on this one. We mostly know this topic, so it's not one we really have to prepare for, but we did prepare for. So I guess, you know, I'm going to throw it to you and give me a layman's term of what is Microsoft cost management and billing.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, from a, you know, high, super high level, I mean, you know, when we talk about cost management, and you know, I think we, you know, obviously there's two sides of the fence when we look at this, Azure and then M365, but I think Azure is probably more something you probably have to pay more attention to, I think, just because of the nature of what Azure is from a consumption standpoint. But cost management essentially is just, you know, keeping track of what you're spending inside of Azure and M365 and kind of configuring those tools that they have in place in order to, you know, make sure that, you know, you're not blowing money on resources that you're not really using. You know, there's like, you know, we've went into a number of different clients and organizations all the time, and they just don't realize what's out there, especially if you didn't especially if you didn't start with a strong foundation, if you kind of just turn the lights on essentially. You know, so I think a lot of times when we look at cost management, you know, that's one of the first thing or one of the first things that we look at when we start looking at, you know, getting someone's tenant right-sized and their subscription and laying that foundation for them to be successful moving forward using Azure or any cloud platform for that matter. So, you know, it's definitely something that's critical to, you know, making sure that, you know, especially nowadays with seems like businesses are tightening up their spending. I know Microsoft just announced layoffs. So I think it was yesterday or the day before or something like that. So, you know, it's something that's very top of mind for a lot of business people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and again, I preface this on whatever your beliefs and whatever gauges you're using and metrics you're following, or, you know, financial advisors you're listening to, whether we're in a recession, on our way to recession, or we're just having a little bit of a downturn, that doesn't change the fact that businesses are trying to do better, be smarter. You know, I read some reactionary conversations. You can't read conversations. I read some reactionary articles, and I got involved in some conversations online debating, you know, that philosophy is like, it's time to get out of the cloud, you know, like get back on prem, it's predictable. But we're going to reintroduce some of the legacy mindset of just doing pure big lifting shifts that are so costly over time. You know, it might solve you immediate problem, but you're just building technical debt by doing that. And I'm not saying on premises is wrong. It's right for certain use cases and it's right for certain organizations. Just broadly taking that stance of like, I'm not big on that. So, you know, there's a couple ways that, you know, we need to look at, especially if we're looking from a cloud perspective. We'll put the Microsoft lenses on. There's four key areas that we look at when it comes to spend. So we have Azure, which we're going to focus mostly on today. Then there's Microsoft 365, D365, which is Dynamics. And then there's the Power Platform, which has a lot of a la carte type of purchases that could, you know, connect to it. And the licensing models a little bit differently. So the big differentiator between some of these services that are on there, well, the majority of them, with the exception of Azure, is that, you know, D365, M/O365, and the Power Platform are, you know, historically licensed and feature-based. So you get a license and it is a little bit predictable, right? So you know what the cost is for the license tier that you're on and what entitlements and benefits you get for having that particular license. So it becomes a little more transparent. Where it's not transparent, and where, you know, I've personally, when I was on the enterprise side, had to have that CFO conversation of, here's why we want to do this to the cloud. Azure becomes kind of a vacuum for dollars if you're not wise on the way you implement, right? And one thing Chris brought up about data platforms is, and we as technologists, we do this. All of us do this at some capacity. Some point in our career, we've done this, where if there's something we want to deploy, or a cool piece of tech or a platform, when we're deploying it, we check all the little boxes that says, I want this feature and this feature and this feature and this feature and this, and you load it all up, right? And you're like, go, right? So the difference between when you have like an on-premises solution versus a cloud solution, you bought the bits and you're constrained by what your hardware can do. So if you turn all these things on and you don't need them, they're just consuming resources they don't need. It's actually a waste of money. A lot of people don't look at it like that. It's actually like you can do a lot more with that CPU and that RAM and that disk than if you were to not have it on there. So turning on what you need is important. Same thing in Azure, right? Picking the right platform and the right product and choosing the right things you want to do will keep your costs low and or keep your cycles low, because some of these things are like microservices, or they're, you know, fractional. When you pay, they're fractional of a penny. You get 8 billion things for like 10 cents. You know, and you're like, oh, sure, let's throw 100 at them. You know, in you're a million at it, and you're like, maybe you take on a couple hundred, a few thousand dollars worth of charges. But then when you stop and you look at it, it's like, I didn't really need that. So, you know, understanding what you're deploying and deploying what you need is important. And if you need to figure it out, you want to play with the cool stuff, there's environments to handle that and kind of learn and play on. So when you have these four areas, it goes into, as Microsoft says, the commerce system data pipeline. And that's comprised of, you know, looking at, and I'm going to reference this so I get the wording right for you. So you have your discounts and credits. So if you have discounts or credits coming towards you based upon whatever reason why you get discounts and credits, that's the first bit. Then you have you get published invoices. One of the things that happens is there's anomaly detection in billing, and that comes from Azure Advisor, big asterisks there. We've talked about that a billion times. It's a little more art than it is factual, or not factual, art more than science. It's a combination of the two, but still, any other clouds that are your monitoring costs for, like AWS. And then what we do then is apply the, or what we do, what Microsoft does is apply the cost allocation. So basically, what subscription, what resource, any credits, boom, here's what you're paying. And then it goes out for invoicing, right? But there's a whole bunch of other things in between, right? And I'm going to close that off because that's going to get dirty, and I'm going to keep staring at that picture. For those of you who are on video, if this makes it to video, I will include a link down in the YouTube. If you're on audio, look in the show notes. I'll put a link to this particular thing we're talking about. It'll make sense to you. So this input of all of what you're spending and the deltas, typical basic accounting, but there's these little triggers along the way. So we talk about tagging resources and putting things in resource groups and grouping them logically to make sense of them, so you know what you're paying for a particular application or what have you. There's things we can do by, you know, analyzing that as a group, making sure that we can have that group together so that when, you know, I'm putting the business lens on. So when we're doing our monthly allocation in our financial system, we know what line items things go to, if there's chargeback or what have you, you know, make sense of doing those kind of things. But then there's the ability to, you know, pipe your spend. If depending on your subscription, you can use some Power BI stuff to get super robust and graphics, visualizations that give you what you need. And you can also export and do these big dumps. I know there's organizations that dump things and manipulate it to import that in. So at a high level, all those four services going into your account hits the commerce system. It's going to apply your credits. It's going to look for, like, hey, this was out of bounds, and it's like anomaly detection, shoot a flare off in your portal. If you have cost analysis refined and broken out the way you want, you can see by resource types and tags how you have things. But then there's also billing and alerting where you can set budgets. So high level, there's tools in place. That's the point I'm making of rambling on here for the last 2 minutes of there's all these tools in place to take everything from when you consume it to when you pay for it, to try to be smarter with our money as an organization. Right. So I'm sure you're very aware of this about monitoring, alerting, and budgets and cost analysis, because that's core to some of the stuff you do for the day job. So, it's relatively easy to do that. And, you know, I say that not saying like, hey, don't talk to your friendly neighborhood consultant to do that, because there is complexity in if you have a big subscription. But your average business, if you're guided and you're set up for this kind of a thing to look for certain things, that's where the value comes. Now, the big asterisks I talked about before of, you know, the Azure Advisor and some of these other things, we, for the day job, we have engagements where, like, we'll circle back at regular intervals with customers after we get them on a program to say, hey, this is what you need to do to fly straight and narrow from a financial perspective, or cost perspective. Let's roll back and look at truly how these resources are being used, right? What are some of the things you look at to determine when you're in a tenant and you flip the lid up and you say, okay, I'm going in. What are some of the things that you, a cloud architect with Azure specialties and certification, what do you look for?
So from like a cost perspective,
yeah.
It kind of depends on the resource, right? So, you know, some things are very easy to look at as far as see, hey, is this being used or not, right? For example, like just recently, you know, we were looking at a particular client's Azure environment, and they were using Azure Virtual Desktop. And, you know, they had about two different host pools, about 25 session hosts combined between the two of them. And only two users were using them. There was no other active sessions at all, no other assignments to the host pools besides these two users combined for those users. So, I mean, they were literally just burning money per month or whatever it was. You know, you're paying for the compute, you're paying for the business they're on,
mm-hmm.
paying for the disk storage. I mean, you're paying for everything. So certain things like that can be pretty straightforward to see as far as if it's being used at all. You know, some things like when it comes to, you know, if we're just looking at basic VMs and things like that, that's a little bit harder to figure out, because obviously if you look at the cost tools, you see it's, you know, it's being consumed, but you know, you might have to look at like activity logs and things like that on a machine to see if it's being used at all there. You know, microservices are a little bit different. Like if it's a function or a logic app, you can see if it's being run at all, or, you know, what's the use case around that, you know? So there's different things like that. You know, if you got, you know, VNets don't really incur cost at all, but unless you're shuttling a bunch of traffic between different, you know, VNets and things like that. But if you're just
gateway doing everything and incur charges, yeah.
you know, but
peer to the world.
yeah. Like if you have like a virtual network gateway sitting out there and it's not connected to anything, like if there's no connections laid out for it, whether it be to on premises or to another gateway or VNet, you know, there's things like that. You gotta, you know, when you're looking at cost management, I try to look at how things are connected and put together and see if there's any assignments to them just at first glance to see if there's any quick wins that we can get.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one of the things I look at, you know, is are you running your Azure portal stock? Like if I log into it, you log into it, and I'm looking over your shoulder, are you configured stock where you're just deploying stuff and you're just going away once it's deployed? Because if you are, we need to have a conversation on a couple things that we want you to do. We want you to create some dashboards that show you critical resources from an operational perspective, but also maybe some dashboarding that shows you what these resources are doing over time, so you know that they're, one, functioning, but two, they're incurring cost, right? The other thing I look at is, do you have any kind of a monitoring and alerting on it from an operational and a billing perspective? So, you know, things can be up and running, but not functional. If it's up and running, like a VM, like you mentioned, you're incurring costs, right? Yeah. If you have web apps with public, if you have machines with public IPs and VNets on them, and like all of those things consume resources. Yeah. And for a larger organization, it's just as easy to not see them in a larger organization as it is to see something in mid-tier and lower, for two separate reasons, right? Larger organizations, if you don't have some sort of adoption framework and reference architecture, there it might be a little bit of the Wild West. Yeah, sure, you might have resource groups to kind of make sense of it. If I had a nickel for every time I ask someone about similarly named resources and some of them are getting traffic, some of them are getting nothing, and I said, why is that there? And I heard that they were afraid to turn it off, that it would break something. I'd have a bunch of sacks of nickels. I mean, I probably, you know, wouldn't have to do this show, but quite frequent that when people turn things on, they're hesitant to turn them off. Yeah. But the difference reasons are is like, you know, you get scale at, you know, mid-tier through enterprise that, you know, some organizations, it's a shared responsibility. Some places it's, oh, I'm responsible for this subscription, but not that one. And, you know, some are better stewards on one side and some are not so much on the other. And there's not an adoption across an organization. And that's the one thing I love to do is roll into organizations and say, let's look at your organization's plan, not just your department's plan, not just, you know, security's plan or maybe data's plan, but let's look at how you need to operate and have a plan in place so that we can all work together for a common good. get what we need as an org, but also not needlessly and recklessly spend money. Smaller organizations tend to, again, be a little more fearful when it comes to turning things on or off and sizing of things. They tend to either size extremely low for cost and then they abandon the platform, or they scale it and then they're just afraid to make some changes that might give an efficiency, because, you know, there's a lot of all the eyes look in one direction, not at a whole group of people that are trying to perform something. So there's a little bit of trepidation by some organizations. Yeah. The other thing from a monitoring and alerting, you know, especially test, if you have environments and you don't have, you know, a reduced price test, test dev tenant. I can't tell you how often we see organizations, you know, they fire up a test machine and then, you know, during the teardown process, they forget to tear something down and it's out there smoking away. It's doing its thing. It's out there. It's just plowing away and that meter's spinning. Every minute it's collecting cost. So that happens very frequently. And luckily there's things that we do for the day job that helps, you know, make sense of some of that for organizations. And I know for sure, and I'm just, because we, you know, we work together for a long period of time. You've seen that too, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I've seen clients where like you said, they're, and this goes for on-premises too, not even just like cloud stuff, right? Yep. People, you know, a new regime takes over, or there's new people and there's like legacy, not even legacy, but just stuff that was already deployed when they got in, and they don't know what the heck is going on with it. They don't know how it's connected, or you know, what would happen if you turn it off, or why it's there, or whatever the case may be. You know, and I think it, you know, for new people starting in their respective IT departments or whatever the case may be, I think it's critical that you understand that, you know, whether that be, you know, you figuring it out on your own, or acquiring some help from your friendly neighborhood consultant or whatever the case may be. I think it's critical that you need to know that, because I mean, for all you know, you guys, you know, the money could just be being, you know, burned away, you know, as far as that goes. And, you know, obviously that's more, more visible necessarily maybe with the cloud than it is with on-premises, but you know, it's definitely a problem. Like I think for a lot of organizations that, like, you know, especially for, I think, larger enterprise people as well, because there's just so much out there, you know, and if everyone's siloed too on top of it, you know, silos are the worst thing for an organization when it comes to this from an Azure or cloud platform in general.
You got a minimal talk.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, because you don't know who's doing what, especially if you're if you just turn the lights on and no one's talking to one another and they're just like resources out there, you have no idea what they are. You know, no one's maybe documenting it correctly. As far as what they were, you know, it's weird names. You don't know what it is, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, that stuff is.
Reference architectures are critical.
Yes. You know, so in that's from a cost, I mean, not just from an operational standpoint to know what is what, but just from a cost standpoint too. If you have no idea what that is, it's, you know, operationally, you don't know what it's doing for you. And if it's not doing anything for you, then cost is like, well, we're just spending money on it. We don't have no idea what it is.
It's kindling fodder at that point,
right? Exactly. So yeah, it may be important, but you don't know that. You know, so you know, and you know, once organizations, you know, everyone's not like this, but there's definitely ones out there that are siloed, and once you get everyone to the table, and you know, it's always maybe like we always call it like a cheese thing. You know, if people want, you know, want to keep their side of the fence, you know, to themselves or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's about working together with the one common goal, just like you said, you know, as far as cost, because at the end of the day, it's going to benefit the business.
Yep, absolutely. So I did mention this kind of in passing a little bit deep in some areas, but it's worth mentioning again. So in Azure, you get, you know, cost management and billing. So, you know, what is in the... I'll use Microsoft. I'm going to read verbatim. Within a billing experience, you can manage all the product subscription, reoccurring purchases you use. You can review any credits you have coming to you and commitments. So you have the ability inside of the billing to understand what you are doing from, you know, every deep, you know, to the resource level. So it's worth noting that there's things, again, I mentioned inside of billing, and this is like when we do cloud adoption programs or cloud improvement programs for those that are already there, you know, we talk about cost and cost management. And one of the first things I say is, you know, set a billing alert. So, you know, even if you have an open-ended agreement or, you know, your budget, you're Fort Knox and budget's not an issue, you should have an understanding of your spend, right? Really easy to handle that when you go into the billing portal and create budgets. So you can work with your accounting team. Some organizations have, you know, year-to-year budgets from calendar year, and I'm working with one right now. And they're like, well, we got our budgets. And I was like, well, put it in Azure. You know what you have allocated money. You can put a budget in there by month. You know, what that spend looks like. And you can put alerts in there. And this is super useful for those who are on the pay-as-you-go model, where you can come in and say, I want to know when I hit 50%. And we mentioned this on the last podcast. When I hit 50% of my billing, I want to know. So like if you're day three into your budget, you're into the month and your budget cycle, and you hit 50%, something's wrong, unless you like plan on only using it for 4 days, you know? So having these kind of things are kind of nice to have. And again, you know, the native interface is great, but there's our ways you can export that data or connect to that data and make it a little more meaningful. If it's super robust and it makes sense to do that. Right.
Yeah. I would just say one thing I would add too, is that, you know, some of this actually applies from a security standpoint too, because, you know, we've worked in the past with a client where, you know, at the end of the month, they got a $12,000 Azure bill. They're like, where'd this come from? You know, which they would have been informed of that if they
there's another one is 18 grand. I mean, it happens, right?
Yeah, cost alert. And then because someone had compromised that account or an account inside the tenant and started spending out resources for malicious purposes, right? You know, and, you know, that's a 2-3-fold issue to begin with right there. But, you know, there's other security controls you can do to, you know, obviously help with that. But if you had cost alert on or whatever, and you see that you're burning through a budget or whatever, you know, that flag may have been raised sooner.
Yeah. So, I agree 1,000%, man. Yeah. Once a month, it's at least once a month, there's either a client, a customer, or somebody flicks me that I've worked with in the past or online or in social, some of the video stuff I've done, video stuff for some organizations, like, oh, we had this runaway thing happen. And it's like, well, what did the budget say? What is there an alert? Did somebody miss? Did the system fail you?
Yeah. And
9 times out of 10, you'll find that the system didn't fail them. They didn't really take advantage of the tools that were there. And that extra 1 time out of 10, maybe it was a shared responsibility of I'm choosing not to look at this because it was just easier to not, you know.
I will also say too that, like, I do think sometimes when we go into organizations, there seems to be sometimes some mystery around like the how to handle the cost tools and what it's actually like presenting to the person who's looking at it, as far as that goes, as far as resources and stuff like that. And sometimes organizations may not understand how Azure resources are built to them, so they understand. Maybe they can see the cost stuff, but they don't like know exactly where it's specifically coming from for this particular thing, right? Yep. You know, I think VMs are, you know, pretty straightforward, but, you know, then there's like, you know, you have the disk, you have the compute for the actual VM, you know, if you have like at least a public IP addresses, anything like that that's tied to it, you know, there's, you know, dozens of different resources, you know, from that standpoint. So I think sometimes too, there, you know, there have to demystify some of that stuff. So that way, you know, it may look intimidating at first, but once you get into it, I think it starts to lay itself out really nicely.
Yep, absolutely. So before we round out the show here, we want to keep it, as I like to say, treadmill length. Again, there's a lot of alerting that you can do in the monitoring aspects. Just hitting the top notes, there's budget alerts, anomaly alerts, you can schedule alerts. But there's also, if you have an EA and you have a commit, there's things you can do to aggregate that so you can see what you're doing against your commit. And then there's invoicing alerts too as well. But when we start looking at it, and this is going to be a multi-series, right? This is going to be like a mini series throughout the year of how to do these kind of things. But there's ways to optimize what you do. And I mentioned on the last one, and I'll mention it on everyone about this topic, there are so many free services that are out there. Some of them will satisfy your needs. If you have this small little one-off app, you don't need a full-blown, Synapse or SQL Server with, Redis cache globally dispersed. I mean, if that's what you need, that's what you need. But, you don't need that for, a vehicle check tool or something like that. Let's pick a platform that, is a little more friendly for the thing that you're going to deploy. And then maybe there might be, if the use is low, a free service might just work. So that's one of the things we do often is like look critically at your infrastructure or at our customer's infrastructure and say, hey, let's look at how you operate as a business. Let's look at your technical needs and let's map it to the right solution. Let's not work in concert. Let's not work against each other. Right.
Yeah.
And some of the other things that I'm going to toss it out there and the topics and run with it. So spot instances and reserved instances are two things that could save some money. So go for it.
Yeah. When it comes to those two things, that those are, when we look at, VM specifically, I would say that that's where we see a lot of cost savings that can be had, with spot instances. It's more so, rather than a quote unquote regular VM that you can stand up on a normal plan. Spot instances basically unused capacity inside of Azure, across Azure as a whole, not specific to your tenant. And then, you'd be able to use that for quote unquote pennies on the dollar. And then if there's, but you run the risk of, if that capacity needs to be taken back from you, that it will take it back from you.
Well, gank it right out from underneath your feet.
Yeah. So not really good for production.
Your evacuation model. There is that, right? You can choose to have it be promoted to full pay, or you can have it just tore down, right?
Yeah. So, definitely good for certain cases where you're trying to test something or you really need the horsepower. Or if you don't even need the horsepower, but just want to pay, for a couple bucks or whatever, definitely useful in that case if you don't want to spin up a full blown standard, a VM. Then we look at reserved instances. I think this would be much more for like a production. If you're in a good groove and you know what you're going to spend, you know what capacity you need for the next 1 to 3 years. Reserved instances, essentially, you can buy for the next 1 to 3 years, whatever that case may be for you, that reserve that capacity for you, and Microsoft will give you a certain percentage off of your savings.
Significant discount.
Significant, yeah. I mean, it could be, if you do a 3-year reserve, it could be up to over 50% off, just like 60% off of the compute power. So if you're pretty confident in what you need there, or if you know what you're at least going to use that amount of capacity, obviously, if you need more, you can get more. They're not going to deny you that. but if you know you're at least going to use that, definitely something that can save money in the long run from that standpoint as well.
Oh, absolutely. So as we round out the show, I want to kind of give a preview on what one of the next from an Azure, because we have a bunch of these going on, right? We have them going on in the data space. We'll have some stuff going on in the security space, but I want to cover key principles of cost management best practices, and I'm just going to rip them out here real quick. So, if you're listening to this, normally we have two types of audience. We have a technical audience, and then we have a business side audience that, are IT adjacent or, somehow interested in this world or responsible for it. This might actually be the next one that we're going to have around this topic. Might even be good for, the accounting world. Maybe spread our wings and get our listeners to, recommend to their accounting team. We'll listen to it first and then recommend it. But key principles of cost management and the best practices, and I'm just going to go off there: planning, visibility, accountability, optimization, and iteration. They're the key things. They are core tenets that we actually take from an efficiency for operational best practices, as well as a financial best practice. So I think that audience is definitely a broader audience, and I think it touches the business heavily on that one too. So that's going to be coming up. So, you know, we want you to listen and follow along, like, comment, subscribe. As always, we like to thank our landmark anchor sponsor, Solutions for Networks. They help make this show possible. Information in the show notes. I can't tell you the areas that we have this very topic going on, and all the different areas going on for the day job. Solutions for Networks has, you know, this top of mind from a security perspective, wireless, wired, security, data center, and obviously the cloud world that we live in. So we'll put all the information in the show notes, so make sure you're staying connected there. With that, we thank you as viewers. If you're on the viewer side, thank you as listeners. If you're on the listener side, we appreciate you, and we hope to talk to you again. And please engage LinkedIn. We're huge there, right? Yeah, right, Dev?
Definitely.
Engage. Alrighty. On that note, thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye.